time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. Roadways looking a little better out there this morning. Still some slick spots on the secondary roads, but for the most part, you can get around a little bit better on the main roads in Caldwell County right now than maybe what it was earlier this week. Welcome to a Groundhog's Day edition of the Sideline Report, and we're going to start this morning with Jason Asher, Caldwell County Middle School Wrestling Coach. And Jason, glad you could make it in this morning. Thanks for coming in and being on the show.
I appreciate it, Todd. It's always a good pleasure to talk to you and the people out there.
Yeah, glad you could make it in, and no problems with the roads or anything this morning out your way?
No, sir. Matter of fact, I made it here just right on time.
Yeah.
So they're doing a good job clearing them up.
Yeah, that all works, and of course, you guys have a big trip coming up with some of the middle school wrestlers and some of the youth wrestlers this weekend.
Yes, sir. We're going to be going to Corbin, Kentucky, over in the Corbin Arena, and this is our second year there, and it's a really nice facility they have over there, and they'll have, I know in the youth tournament alone, there was about over 500 contestants that had signed up yesterday, and you take the top four out of every region across the state, they'll be in the middle school tournament that qualified.
Yeah, now are the regions for middle school set up kind of the way they are for the high school teams?
Yes, sir. You have eight regions, and there's the top four will make it, and then you have the alternates, which is the fifth and sixth. And what that means is, say, like another kid from another region that probably got sick or was unable to go for whatever reason, then your alternate would make it.
So you guys have several now making the trip this weekend.
Yes, sir, we do. We got, I think, all together, we've got about 13 or 14. That's from youth all the way to the middle school. And this is really big for us because our numbers have really kind of exploded over this past season, not only through our youth program, but also to the high school program. Beginning the season with high school, we had almost two to three people per weight class, and we've never had that I know of.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so a good chance for these guys to get out. And do they usually have this in Corbin? It seems like that's a pretty good trip for you guys.
Well, I think it really depends on who gets the venue. My first year, we had it in, I think it was Broadbent over there in the horse park. We had it over in Louisville for two seasons. And then we went to Pikeville near Jeannie Wiley in that area of the state. Now, that's beautiful country, but that's a long haul.
Yeah.
So.
Well, how long have we had a middle school wrestling team? How did that kind of come about? Because you look at the high school team, and it's got a long history and lots of state champions and lots of really good wrestlers. When did the middle school program kind of come along?
I think originally it started with Jason Walls when he started to coach here. It started out as like a youth program, and then he evolved it into his middle school kids. And then I think it was maybe in the early 2000s, 2001 maybe.
Okay. So the middle school and the youth program, that's kind of a combined thing. Do you end up coaching most of those kids?
Well, I mainly do. I help out with high school when they need to.
Yeah.
And then, like, middle school is what I normally do. And then along with several other coaches, which I can't brag about them enough because I've got a lot of people that help me. Michael Redd come out of retirement to give me a hand. Coach Clejay, Clay Overby. And if I miss anybody, I apologize. I do mainly the middle school, and a guy that just moved here named Brian Bunnell. He does the youth program, and his son wrestles for me. This is the first time we've had the youth program with the middle school. Normally, we do like a couple, like maybe a month out of the summer, and then that's what we do with them.
Now, what do your numbers look like with the youth and the middle school?
If you add both of them together, we have probably about anywhere from 30 to 40 kids.
Yeah, now, who has qualified? Because you guys had regional competition, 2 weeks ago up at Henderson County? So tell us who's going and what kind of seasons those guys are having.
All right, I'll start with the alternates. We got two alternates. This is new to me. I've never had alternates before, which is awesome. Dawson Harris, he's our heavyweight, the 240-pounder. He's our first-year kid, and he's just a good athlete, good kid overall. Ask yes, sir, no, sir. You tell him what to do, he does it, and never complains. The other alternate, 152, is my son Bradley. Also, he's kind of a boy amongst men sometimes, but he really goes in, he wrestles with the high school kids, whatever you do, he does whatever you ask him to. And our newcomer from Wisconsin, Ethan Klejay from Wisconsin, he came down here with his dad, and he's been nothing but an asset, a really good kid to have on the team. He works hard. He's always kind of like a student of the game. And he's been going to the state tournament as a fourth-place finisher in the region. And our number one guy we have, he won the region, and I'm proud of this kid because he's done so much since I've been there. Donovan Rogers, he's the number two ranked kid at middle school level in the state of Kentucky, and he has a really good shot, and I'm pulling for all these kids. But yeah. Donovan, I'm really proud of.
Yeah. What's the competition kind of like at state tournament for the middle school guys?
Well, a lot of the middle school kids that you have there, it's kind of a mix between some of those kids do wrestle high school matches, a lot of 7th and 8th graders. You have several in the upper weight classes that try to be fill-ins for, like, I know there's two that wrestles for Henderson County over there, and Coach Pointer has done a really good job of that program. They have a 68-pounder and a 90-pounder that wrestles for the high school level. So you're going to have some kids with varsity experience wrestling at that level.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, at what point can you compete on the varsity level? Because it seems like every sport kind of has a different cutoff as to what age you can start playing varsity sports.
I think technically at seventh grade, rarely you'll find a sixth grader, but you have to weigh 98 pounds according to the state rule. And a lot of times it's the coach's discretion because you really wouldn't want to have a seventh grader going against a senior, 190 pounder.
As far as the youth state tournament goes this weekend, how many do we have going to that?
We have, from our little kids all the way to the top, I think we've got 12 or 13 just in the youth. And if the individuals, say Ethan or Donovan, don't place, get on the podium, then they are eligible to wrestle in the youth state itself.
Yeah. So a pretty big group then going to Corbin for this weekend's action.
Yeah, we're gonna be pretty busy. We've got a handful of coaches, and we've got the parents that are going to make the trip. And I couldn't brag on the parents and stuff so much more. I mean, they've done such a good job, not only with their kids this year, but allowing us as coaches to coach them. And every tournament we went to, I had nothing but good things bragged on these kids. You know, they're well behaved, their sportsmanship, and stuff like that.
Talk a little bit about how the season has gone for you guys up to this point.
Season went really well. This has been a really fun season. In the past, we've only had like a handful. And my coach years ago, named Mickey Walls, he said it's not quantity, it's quality. And that's what we have here. And we went to some tough tournaments. And those tough tournaments make us better wrestlers. They really do. Maybe a tough experience at the time, kind of like when we play a tough team in football. I won't say Mayfield, but, when we play tough tournaments like games like that and even dual meets, you're gonna wrestle good competition. Yeah. And when you want to do that early in the season, that way toward the end of the season, you're prepared.
Yeah. Speaking of the football schedule, we got that yesterday, and man, did you get a chance to look at it? It's a pretty tough slate.
Yeah, I saw. I've noticed that you had Apollo on there for a scrimmage, and you had Hancock and McCracken County, and was there Graves too?
Graves County, Union County's on there. Christian County, which is going to become Hopkinsville Christian County Academy in 2024. So that's a 6A school now. McCracken County is a 6A school. Starting the year with Hopkins County Central, that's another new addition to the schedule. But, you don't see many off dates on that. And you start talking about district, it's Mayfield, Murray, and Crittenden County in the district now. So I'm not sure there's a better Class 2A district in the state.
No, normally we have, even in wrestling, we have the toughest region and area, since I was in school. And I hope the best for the athletes and everything like that. And it just makes you better. It makes you a better competitor, I think.
Senior night coming up tonight for the high school wrestling team. Well, it's at Butler Gym. When's the last time we had a wrestling match down at Butler?
If I did the math right, it was back in 93 when I was an eighth grader.
Oh, wow.
Or 92, I'm sorry. So it's been a day or two.
Yeah, I've actually been to a couple of those matches, but I knew it was a long time ago. And I think that's kind of fun throwback, though. I I kind of think that's something we need to look at more, going down there and maybe having some matches.
Oh, I agree, because yesterday we had a little practice session over there. And just being in that gym itself, my dad, my late father, he told me about him going to school over there, and just the feel of the gym itself, you could feel the history in it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it felt good, kind of like a throwback, like you said. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the wrestling program that I've always noticed during the years trying to cover the team. You just don't get a whole lot of home matches. You know, you're going someplace every Saturday, it seems like.
Yeah. Hopefully in the future we could host maybe a couple more tournaments here in town, two or three. I really would like to do a middle school tournament next year, maybe a dual meet. And if the Butler's available or whatever, I've got some commitment to some coaches. So the sky's the limit. But like you said, a lot of the times we're either, I think, as close as we can get is like Hopkinsville or Paducah or places like that. But we do travel all over Tennessee. I mean, we travel everywhere.
Yeah. Now, I got a little spoiled last year because we had the high school regional tournament here. So, you know, that was an easy one. This year it's at Christian County, but I'm trying to think back through the years. I know I've been to Ohio County a couple of times. I don't even think they're in our region anymore.
No, they're moved to, yeah.
So I've been there a couple of times. I've been to McCracken County, which has been relatively recent because they've only been a school for, you know, not that long now. So McCracken County held it once. Of course, Union County's held it several times. Christian County and Hopkinsville, and of course this year it's over at Christian County again, so that'll be a pretty easy trip for everybody to get over there for the high school regional.
Oh yeah, we it was matter of fact, this year in our super region or whatever they call it now, it's been a little different now than I was in school. I know, and just in the regionals just down here, we've got at least three weight classes that have the top 10 wrestlers in the state of Kentucky in those weight classes.
Wow. Yeah, that kind of makes it tough to get to state, and now that they've got, I guess they call it the first round of state, which I think for this side of the state is Louisville-Atherton this year, it just seems like it makes it a little more difficult for wrestlers to get to that big state tournament at the end.
Yeah, because you with all the – it take like what I was telling my guys at the regional, said just because you beat somebody all year does not mean you're going to win that match. You really have to step up because – they want to get there as bad as you do.
Yeah.
And it's something that brings that little extra something out of those kids, you know.
Well, and even at the regional, to me, one of the biggest matches when you go to a regional wrestling tournament is not the championship match or even the third place match. It's that match that gets you to where you might be able to, you know, earn a spot. To me, it's the toughest thing is that the sixth place or the eighth place match, I can't remember, seventh place, whichever one that is, those are the most outstanding matches because those kids are going all out because they know if they don't win that match, they have no chance of advancing.
Yeah, those are the really high emotion. I mean, those are the matches that you kind of want to see because it's bringing the best out of both those athletes, the conditioning, the heart. I mean, it's just like they're pouring everything they can on the mat so they could get to that next level. And in the end, there's only going to be one that makes it. And that's what makes wrestling such an emotional roller coaster. And when my wife first started watching it with me, she said, how do you do this? And I was like, well, it's kind of like you get really like a rush and then it goes right back down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to me, the most difficult thing about being a wrestler, especially around a regional tournament or a traditional tournament, is there's a lot of downtime. And then you've got to get up for that match, and then there's a lot more downtime. So you really have to be focused in on what you're doing and be ready to go when it's time to go.
Yeah, exactly. And what we try to tell our kids, I know at the middle school level, and I'm sure Coach Nichols and Coach Brown does the same thing, stay with our group, kind of walk around, go to the concession stand, just kind of stay a little busy. And if you get a chance before your match, kind of warm up on the side, get in the zone.
Yeah.
And do that.
I'm not sure the average person, though, if they don't go to a lot of wrestling matches, you think that you're out there for 6 minutes most of the time if there's not a pin. That's a pretty intense 6 minutes, though. I mean, you get a good workout in a match.
Oh, definitely. I remember Dan Gable said, if anybody could wrestle, or if you once you wrestle, I apologize, once you wrestle, everything in life is easy.
Yeah. Well, what is it they say about winning in the first period or the second period or the third period, that the third period always comes down to who's got the most guts?
Yes, sir, and that's one thing that I'm really proud with all of our guys at the middle school. Conditioning is one of the things that we do a lot here at the middle school, because just because that wrestler, now by far, say he's a better athlete than you. I mean, it happens. But in the very end, the one that has most conditioning and the most endurance is going to win the match.
Yeah.
We've had, from last year to this year, at the middle school level, we've had 14 overtime matches, and we won every one of them.
Oh, wow. So does it come down to technique sometimes, too? Is that a factor, or is it just being in condition and just trying to maybe outlast your opponent?
A lot of it is condition. A lot of it is technique. And, like, I've got some new guys on the team that has kind of picked up a lot quicker than I thought. Mm-hmm. And the way we do it, or what I've done with my coaches, is I try to, if one kid's good on their feet and the other kid's not good on their feet, I'd have them work together. Well, the same one that's real good on their feet, they're not good on mat. But the other kid's good on the mats. So I would play each other's strengths or the weaknesses. That way they can make each other a better wrestler.
Yeah. It's always interesting to watch matches and watch the strategy and, you know, of letting a guy up off the mat and trying to get another takedown. And seems like different wrestlers have different approaches to how they go about it.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like they know, for instance, like when I was in school, I was better on the mat than I was on my feet. I would try to keep the guy on the mat as long as I could. Right. If I got that point, I'm going to try to ride it out. But sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.
So how long now have you been involved with Caldwell County Wrestling in one form or another?
I would say this is probably the junior class this year is the first class that I had Cole Sherrill and them down.
Okay.
So I'd say probably 4 years, I would think. I originally started with Sean Cecil.
Yeah.
My two originally wanted to start wrestling, so I asked Sean. I was like, you care if I give you a hand? It kind of developed from there.
But you were a wrestler back in the day.
Oh, yes, yeah. Sir, I was, yeah.
Yep. So what did you kind of take from that? What did you learn from your time on the mat that you could kind of use moving forward?
I would say that definitely the self-discipline, not only in your athletics but in life itself. Life doesn't always pan out like you want it to, but in the long run, you keep striving for whatever that goal is, and you move forward and get that goal that you want, whether it's that big house or, you know, just try to provide for your family.
Yeah,
you know.
I've always said if I was a fall sports coach, like maybe football or soccer or something, that if my guys weren't playing anything else during the winter, I'd want them wrestling, you know, just – from a conditioning standpoint, just because I know they're going to come back tougher.
Oh, yeah. I, as a former lineman, and I stress this out to the football players that are listening out there, the football parents that are listening, we've got probably three or four offensive linemen that wrestle for me now.
Yeah.
And I'm really impressed with them. And it also helps with your, like, we heard the term fighting in the trenches when you're blocking and hand fighting and everything. That is kind of key to helping you with your balance, your blocking, and like you said, your toughness, because when you're on that mat, you're going all out for about 6 minutes or whatever, and that just helps you as a better football player if you're conditioning and mentally tougher and physically as well.
We're talking this morning with Caldwell County Middle School Wrestling Coach Jason Asher, and once again, state tournament coming up this weekend. Jason, run through that one more time for us. So you guys have a bunch going to the middle school and youth state wrestling tournaments this weekend.
Yes, sir. We got anywhere from 13 to 15 wrestlers going to the youth and middle school this weekend at Corbin, Kentucky, and Corbin Arena. And I'm really impressed with this bunch of kids, and I really hope that we bring home some medals, some golds. One thing that, if I got time.
Yeah.
One thing that we did during our season, we had this thing called the GOAT Medal. Anyway, it can be any kid that won his first match, somebody won a tournament, somebody that went out there and done just amazing, okay? And so what we did was we gave the GOAT Medal out. So anyway, I'm going to let Mr. Griffin have the GOAT Medal this morning.
Oh, thank you.
For being everything what he he's done for
that.
Us.
That's awesome. Big chain on it and everything. I'll take that. How long do I get to keep it?
Here in a few minutes.
All right, that looks sharp. I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming in this morning and being on the show. And Absolutely. Good luck to you guys going up to Corbin, and do bring back some medals with you when you come back home.
I do appreciate it. And once again, thank you, parents, for allowing your kids to wrestle for us. Thank you, Todd, for allowing me to come in to talk to you all. And all my coaches and everybody, I can't stress how much I really appreciate each and every one of you.
Yeah, that's Jason Asher, again, Caldwell County middle school wrestling coach, and the middle schoolers and the youth wrestlers headed up to Corbin this weekend for state tournament action. Stay with us. We've got more coming up on the Sideline Report in just a bit. Bob Hayes, WPKY sportscaster, will be in here, and we'll try to make some sense of the basketball schedules after all the snow outs and wintry weather cancellations this week. So stay tuned as we continue here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Your local McDonald's wants you to know that they are ready to serve you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Dine-in or the drive-thru is always open, and they offer curbside pickup service. To avoid the wait in the drive-thru, you can download the McDonald's app and try curbside pickup. Stop in soon and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at your local McDonald's. Proud to be a part of this community. McDonald's of Princeton, proud supporters of the Caldwell County Tigers.
We provided shelter for 8,768 guests free of charge in 2021. We wrote 869 rent checks to help house families and individuals in their own homes last year. We have sheltered numerous individuals during cold weather. We wrote 1,012 checks to assist households with their utility bills in 2021. We are the Hopkinsville Salvation Army.
You can become part of the We. Search Salvation Army Hopkinsville on Facebook as we continue to help families in Christian, Todd, and Trigg counties.
Hi, I'm Rachel Chandler with Farmers Bank. Did you know your money can make more money when you level up to an interest-bearing checking account? Grow your balance at Farmers Bank with our unique Plus checking account featuring a 2.5% annual percentage yield on balances up to $15,000. Unique Plus is a win-win local banking option. Call or visit us today and let our expert bankers show you how to get the most out of your deposits. Farmers Bank. Live unique. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
It's not often we're given an opportunity to save another person's life. Western Kentucky Regional Blood Center gives us that opportunity every day. What if we could do that 6 times a year? With each pint of blood donated, Western Kentucky Regional Blood Center is able to use it to save 3 lives. That could be 18 lives each year. Think about it. Western Kentucky Regional Blood Center, 1902 South Virginia Street, Hopkinsville. Visit WKRBC.org for times of operation.
Today's society is dependent on electricity. The Princeton Electric Plant Board has what you demand for electricity anywhere, anytime, at the required level of quality. They work to ensure our community's power system has the resources in place for reliability today and into the future. Their work and commitment has reduced the frequency and duration of power outages with a reliability rate of 99.9%. Princeton Electric Plant Board, bringing our customers safe and reliable energy.
Welcome back to the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Appreciate Jason Asher coming in and talking about Caldwell County Middle School Wrestling and Youth Wrestling and what they've got coming up. State tournament action this weekend in Corbin. Hopefully we've got basketball action for you on WPKY tonight. The Lady Tiger basketball team scheduled to go to Dawson Springs, and hopefully weather conditions and road conditions will allow for that game to happen. Varsity action at 6 o'clock tonight, and of course you can hear all the action here on WPKY if we get that game played. Also, as we talked about there with Jason Asher, it's senior night for the Caldwell County High School Mat Men tonight. That'll be going on at Butler Gym. Weigh-ins around 5:30 with the senior night ceremony to take place right before the match. Ohio County will provide the opposition tonight. We've got Bob Hayes in the studio with us. We'll talk to him next. Stay with us as we roll on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to plan your future. Contact Woodman Life Craig Smiley, 1009 West Main Street, Princeton, 270-365-6111.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. We've got a slight chance of freezing rain and drizzle early this morning, then mostly cloudy skies, high of 40. a chance of precipitation about 20%. Then tonight, a mostly cloudy sky expected with a low around 21, north-northwest winds between 15 and 20 miles an hour expected. Friday, sunny skies, high of 33, and north wind between 15 and 20 miles an hour once again. Then by Friday night, clear skies, but a low of 17 and more refreezing on the way. But back to this afternoon, a cloudy sky and 40 degrees in West Kentucky.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the financial literacy resource center at fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to pro shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. As promised, Bob Hayes in the studio with us. And Bob, not much going on for the sports guys this week on the radio, but hopefully we'll get some games here in the next couple of days.
Maybe tonight. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Todd, we were shut out Monday night and Tuesday night with the icy conditions, and which is going to make for a weekend, if not next weekend, the following weekend. Seems like doubleheaders from here on out, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. After tonight's girls game at Dawson Springs, and hopefully we get to play that game, you look at Friday night, it's a doubleheader at Madisonville North Hopkins. Saturday night, a doubleheader at Lyon County. Monday night, the rescheduled doubleheader at Hopkins County Central. And then Tuesday night, a doubleheader over at Trigg County. So that's a lot of games in a very short amount of time.
I'm going to have to rest my voice really well this weekend.
Well, and if you look ahead next week, the boys go to Crittenden County on Thursday. And then both teams are in action again Friday. It's a split doubleheader of sorts because the girls play Fort Campbell and the guys play Webster County that night, I think, because I'm going off the top of my head.
Yes.
Now. But, yeah, that's a busy, busy week of basketball.
I looked at that schedule last night, and you're right, Fort Campbell early on that night and then followed by the boys' rematch with Webster.
Well, other big news this week, we finally get the jersey retirement of Dwight Smith at Western Kentucky University. And, Bob, what do you remember about Dwight Smith?
A lot. I got to see him play a couple times, once in the Dawson gym and two or three times in the Caldwell County gym, and probably about three times in college at UK. I would go over to Richmond and watch when Western played Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
He just dominated the action against Eastern.
Well, you know, we had the WKU crew in here last week, Joe Dan Beavers and Tyler Bashir and Chris George were all on the show, and we just talked about Dwight Smith for the entire show, and so glad that Western Kentucky is finally doing this, but, you know, it's just a shame that it couldn't have been done 15, 20, 25 years ago when there were so many more people that were still with us that would have really enjoyed that honor.
Absolutely, and it's almost a sin to have waited 30 years, 40 years for that to have happened. He earned his mark without having to have the years in between to kind of embellish what he did. I mean, he did his work on the court. It still remains a body of work that's unsurpassed.
The thing about Dwight Smith, and we talked about that a little bit last week, is you hear all of these stories about what a great basketball player he was, and you think, well, over the years, these stories have become really embellished that, you know, he jumps a little bit higher in every story and he shoots from a little bit farther out in every story. But then you start talking to people and really finding out all that stuff is accurate, that he really was that kind of basketball player.
And the one thing a lot of people don't realize was how great he was handling the basketball. I mean, you talk about his rebounding and his shooting, his free throw shooting, his defensive ability, but he had the basketball on a yo-yo handling it.
Well, and I believe he turned down an offer from the Harlem Globetrotters before he was drafted by the NBA.
You're quite sure that people that could look at him and just see an immense amount of talent would say, and especially when they would see him play and kill the clock with his ball handling ability. Yeah.
Well, and I believe Coach Oldham at Western Kentucky used to actually put two guys on Dwight in practice just to try to guard him a little bit.
He was the ultimate in a basketball player. It's obviously a shame that he couldn't live out his dream of playing NBA basketball to see how great he could have been. But I'm to the point where I put him in the Michael Jordan class.
Well, a lot of people say that his game was more suited to the professional level, and that once he got to that point, where maybe there was a little more freedom for him to go score all the points he wanted to and get all the rebounds he wanted to, that he would really have been an outstanding professional ball player.
I don't think there's any doubt he would have blossomed big time in at the pro ranks.
But he was such a team player, I think, at Dotson and Western Kentucky, that maybe sometimes when you just look strictly at his stats, you aren't as impressed as you are if you actually saw him play.
And being around him growing up, he would come to the outdoor courts, not often, but Greg was down there more often than Dwight, but super, super guys. I mean, just laid back, polite, dominating the action, just good to be around, just quality kids.
How good were those Dotson teams? Regional runner-up in, what, 62, and then regional champion in 63. I mean, how good were those teams?
Fantastic. And you know, you can kind of hear the stories about Coach Withrow. His coaching prowess was just grab the basketball and roll it out on the floor and let them play. And, you know, oftentimes that's what you want to do.
Well, just from reading some of the recaps of those games and looking at some of the stats that are still around, it seemed like Dotson kind of had the idea that the more shots you get up, the more points you're going to score. So they weren't a team that shot a sparkling percentage, but they might get up 100 shots in a ball game.
And I still believe that's the emphasis on offensive basketball. You can't go in a game thinking you're only going to shoot 40 times or 45 times. Even hitting 50% of those, it's not going to produce many points on the board, and you just eliminate offensive rebounding in that situation.
Well, and I'm not really exaggerating when I say 100 shots a game, because they would get that sometimes. And when you have Dwight Smith and Greg Smith and Marvin Copeland and Scotty Edwards there to go rebound the ball, that's a pretty good strategy.
Well, it's a winning strategy.
So finally, his jersey will be retired by Western Kentucky University. I think he's the 11th individual to have that honor at Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers host Texas El Paso Saturday afternoon. Tip-off time is at 3 o'clock, and the jersey retirement ceremony is at halftime. And like I said, it's one of those things that I think a lot of us complained about for years and years, and thought maybe Dwight was being overlooked. But Bob, with Dwight dying so young, he wasn't around to be remembered, I don't think. You know, had he been part of the program or had still been showing up at games, people would have remembered, hey, there's Dwight Smith.
And with no television back in those days, you never could see him play, but maybe once a year, at the most twice a year. And the other thing, while we bring up Dwight, it's my impression that Greg ought to be in that Hall of Fame too, and have his jersey retired with what he accomplished at Western and then later on in the pros.
Well, and I mentioned it last week that I think one of Dwight's problems as far as being considered for these honors was that he was on those Hilltopper teams that were so great that maybe some of the other people, you know, took the spotlight and people didn't remember Dwight as much.
And that's another part of his personality. He didn't take offense to that when he was kind of relegated back to, I won't say second status, but Clem Haskins obviously was the maybe the star, quote unquote, of those teams, and he was just happy to play his role.
Yeah, I had always heard that, and the story that always sticks with me on Dwight Smith is that he would shoot a fadeaway jumper from the corner, the ball would end up in the net, and Dwight would end up in the third row because he shot such a fadeaway that, you know, he would end up in the bleachers.
He was poetry in motion, Todd. That's all I can say. Everything was just choreographed. I mean, he didn't lunge to do this or lunge to do that. It was just all grace.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to be up there Saturday. I know there's a large contingent headed that way from Princeton. Like I said, though, had this been 15 or 20 years ago, you can only imagine. I think Princeton might have filled up Diddle Arena for that.
25, 30 busloads for sure. I mean, he was that popular down here.
Well, speaking of basketball, we're getting close to the end of the current high school season. After this week, just 2 weeks remaining in the regular season. So, Bob, where are the local teams headed as far as district tournament time and then maybe regional tournament time?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I've seen, obviously, the ladies and the men play. The men have had a season of injury after injury after injury, and still probably now two games they've been able to get their – quote starting five onto the floor, and it takes time to kind of go back and build up that type of camaraderie. And but the boys go into every game scrapping, and you know, and the fact that we have a 6'5" sophomore this year that never played since Little League, he's still learning the ropes, and he's beginning to come around. And I think next year, certainly 2 years from now, if we can keep this team together, we'll be able to do something in the second region.
Well, and we knew going into this season that when you lose somebody like Jabrion Spikes, that's a tough replacement right there, because that was a kid that was very capable of going out and getting 40 or 50 points for you on a given night.
It's tough. He averaged, I think, right at 30 last year, and a coach to have to replace that. You just beat your head against the wall figuring out how that's going to get done.
Some tough district teams this year, though. Both Madisonville teams, girls and boys, are really good. The Hopkins County Central teams are pretty good. The Dawson girls have struggled a little bit, but their boys team seems to be an up-and-coming team in the district.
They play well. When you go into a game against the Dawson boys, you better have everything lined up and worked out as to who you're going to guard, because they can shoot it from anywhere, anytime.
So it's going to be tough, I think, for Caldwell County's teams to get to the regional tournament this year. But, hey, district tournament time, you get a one-game shot. Who knows? I think the Tigers are capable of springing an upset, and I think the Lady Tigers are capable of knocking somebody off on the right night.
On that one given night, anything's possible, and especially if we come out shooting the ball well and getting them maybe panicked a little bit, that's what brings about a victory.
Now, looking ahead to the second region tournaments coming up, I think on the boys' side it's a little more wide open, although I think Lyon County has to be considered the favorite. For the girls, can anybody beat Henderson County? I think Henderson's a pretty prohibitive favorite on the girls' side.
And I've not seen Henderson girls play, but every score I see indicates that that's a possibility that's going to happen. I've seen Madisonville girls play, Hopkins County Central girls play, Lions ladies play, and they're going to have to really have a great game to stay with Henderson County.
Yeah. And on the boys' side, I think you still have to make Lyon County a favorite, even though they lost to University Heights in the All-A Classic, but I think there are a lot of teams out there that can give Lyon County a challenge. Like we said, UHA has already has one win over the Lions, and you look at Christian County, Hopkinsville, the other teams over in the 8th District are going to be pretty tough. One of them is not going to make the region, though. Madisonville has some potential this year. I don't think the Maroons have put everything together yet, but I think if they do, they could be scary come tournament time.
They have the athletes. And then another team I think that may be lurking in the background is Webster County.
Yeah, they're pretty solid.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they've got some nice-looking kids, and seems like Webster County always puts pretty solid basketball teams on the floor.
And who knows at tournament time who can rise to the occasion and who maybe slides a little bit, and then you have your recipe for upset.
Yeah, it's always tough. Lyon County, you have to give the school props last year for winning the boys' championship, first time, I think, since 1951. And it was a fun story. You know, I think media outlets around the state kind of picked up Lyon County, and they were kind of the tournament darling last year at the Sweet 16. And, you know, it'd be fun for them to get back and see what they could do a second time, because I think sometimes when you go that first time, you're just maybe a little unsure of things. And I think if Lyon got back this year, it would have a whole lot better idea of what it needs to do to keep advancing at state. But once you're the top dog, doesn't matter what size school you are, Lyon County won it last year, so everybody's going to kind of be shooting for them when the regional tournament rolls around.
And the other thing about Lyon County is they've gotten more statewide recognition this year with their schedule, and puts them in a position where they've been there, done that, and the big lights don't bother them. Yeah. And you know, if Lyon gets out of this region, they are a threat.
Yeah. I think Lyon County has played more games in Lexington this season than it has Eddyville.
and that just only serves to help them.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Hayes this morning, WPKY sportscaster. We need to get to a break here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and talk about the Kaawa County Tiger football schedule for 2023. That's out, and it has some interesting matchups coming up this fall, so we'll talk about that after this break here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Cadiz Trigg County Tourism invites you to visit Cadiz soon and often. We have great places to shop, eat, and enjoy. Find out more at gocadiz.com or on Facebook.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. We've got a chance for freezing rain and drizzle early this morning, then mostly cloudy skies by the mid-afternoon. High of 40. A chance of precipitation about 20%. Then tonight, mostly cloudy skies, low of 21. A north-northwest wind will start to move more north later in the evening. Winds could be as high as 20 miles an hour. And then Friday, sunny skies, high of 33. North winds between 15 and 20 miles an hour. And then by Friday night, chilly temperatures once again. Clear skies and a low of just 17. But back to this afternoon, cloudy skies and 40 degrees.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit tricehughes.com. That's tricehughes.com.
You want a mower that delivers a quality cut and an exceptional ride. You need the Kubota Z200 series with the new K-Ride comfort system, designed to give you everything you need to glide your way to a perfectly manicured lawn. Visit your local Kubota dealer today.
H&R AgriPower is your Kubota dealer for sales, service, and parts. Located at 4900 Eagle Way in Hopkinsville.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at FSMB.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. I appreciate Jason Asher, Kaawa County Middle School Wrestling Coach, coming in earlier today. Right now, Bob Hayes, WPKY sportscaster, is in the studio with us. And Bob, the Kaawa County football schedule for 2023 is now out, and I know you've had a chance to look at it a little bit, and, man, it looks like a pretty tough slate to me.
It is very ambitious, Todd, to say the least. I mean, I don't think the only 2A schools that we play are the schools in our district. The other schools are 3A on up to 6A.
Yeah, a couple of 6As in McCracken County and Christian County. Of course, Christian County, they've already moved them to 6A because in 2024, Christian County becomes Hopkinsville Christian County Academy, which is kind of a mouthful, but they'll be the Wolfpack. But They went ahead and moved them to 6A, but Christian County will transform, as far as the schedule goes, the HCCA school will take over Christian County's schedule. So after Christian County finishes up this year, that will be the new school on the schedule for Caldwell next season.
Well, and just looking at it, going over the home games for the Tigers this coming year, Friday, September 1, Union County comes to Tiger Stadium, September 8th, Graves County comes to Tiger Stadium, September 22nd, Christian County comes to Tiger Stadium, Friday, September 29th, Mayfield comes to Tiger Stadium. We play Mayfield earlier this year than normally we do in prior seasons.
Well, and then the final game of the year, Trigg County comes to Tiger Stadium, and a couple of anomalies on the schedule maybe. If you look at the game August 25th at Madisonville North Hopkins, of course, we went to Madisonville last year, so we'll be making a second straight trip there. That, I think, was to help Madisonville balance their schedule, but once Caldwell did that, Trigg County will come here for the second straight year in a row. That was done to help Caldwell County balance out its schedule to have five home dates and five road games. So a couple of opponents were going to the same place twice, I guess, Bob. So we'll make a return trip to Madisonville this year.
Well, you just got to be ready to play regardless of whether it's here in Princeton or on the road.
The first two games of the regular season at Hopkins County Central and at Madisonville. And Bob, I mentioned in the story that that kind of makes sense to play those two schools, since that's basically a 7th district game for almost every other sport.
Absolutely, Todd, and they're within 35 miles of Princeton, and you don't have to go 50 or 60 miles looking for an opponent.
Well, and I think one of the big things when this schedule was put together was to make sure it was all WKC opponents so that we wouldn't have a long trip. We all remember the trip to Greene County that one year, and we've all been to North Hardin, I think. So I think when the coach Will Barnes kind of made this schedule, it was to keep the opponents as close as possible.
Exactly, and it is an ambitious schedule, and obviously I think with our team really progressing late last year, and with a year more under their belt, more strength, more growth, more talent that they can expose to their type of play. Season looks interesting coming up, Todd.
Yeah, gone from last year's schedule. Hopkinsville is gone, and then two district opponents, Ballard Memorial and Fort Campbell, are both gone because we went from a 5-team district to just a 4-team district this year. So the good news is the Tigers have made the playoffs for this fall. The bad news is it's probably the toughest Class 2A district in the state, with Mayfield, Murray, Crittenden County, and Caldwell County all right there.
I think I have to agree with that. This is the most ambitious district schedule in the state of Kentucky.
You can check out the whole schedule at yoursportsedge.com. For the first time ever, we're going to McCracken County. That game's on September 15th, and then McCracken will return that trip in 2024 to Tiger Stadium. And McCracken County, Bob, that's another 6A school right there,
with probably 115 kids playing football, too, and combination of three schools down there, Todd. So we'll have our work cut out this year and the years ahead.
Yeah, always fun to look at it, though. One of the biggest days of the season for me is when I get the new football schedule.
Exactly, and then you can begin to put that in the back of your mind, and in the back of your mind it continues to move toward the center of your mind, and finally, about the 1st of July, you're consumed by high school football.
Is that just a sports guy thing? Is because I enjoy when the St. Louis Cardinals baseball schedule comes out, I look at that. I look at the NFL schedule when it comes out. Kentucky football and basketball, can't wait to see that completed schedule to see how the games line up.
Right, that maybe that is a man thing.
Want to change gears just real quickly. How are things going for Caldwell County Youth Incorporated? I know it's kind of a busy time because finishing up basketball, but at the same time, baseball and softball are on the horizon.
We're within 2 weeks of having the basketball season end here in Princeton. We've got a weekend of district games, so to speak, with opponents from outlying counties coming in to play. We're at the Butler Gym Saturday and at the middle school Saturday, and then our K-1-2 guys will be playing at the elementary school. So a full weekend, Then we get a break. We go to visiting towns the next weekend. And then the big weekend is the, I think, the 18th or 19th, where the district tournaments are going to be held here in Princeton, at least for the third and fourth grade teams. I think the fifth and sixth graders will play somewhere else. But the season is just about to wind up, and you're right, baseball and softball are on the horizon. I think the first day of official practice is February the 15th, so baseball is just lurking in softball. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like baseball and softball weather right now, but it will shortly.
we hope.
Yeah, hopefully we're in for some warming times, and I've had my fill of winter this time, Bob. I'm ready for spring.
I'd like to see out what the next 4, 5, 6 weeks of these jet streams are going to be, and we got a decision to make when to turn the water on at the ballpark. Yeah. We don't want to turn it on and have it get down to 20 degrees and create all that kind of problems you have with frozen pipes. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning and talking sports with us, and hopefully we have basketball action on the air, and you guys are back at it tonight.
Well, let's hope that we can get that game in. It's just one less that we got to put in the schedule later on in the next 2 weeks.
Lady Tigers at Dawson Springs tonight, varsity at 6. We'll have the game for you here on WPKY. If you're not going to Dawson, go down to the Butler Gym tonight and check out Senior Night for the Kiowa County Wrestling Program. Ohio County will be there. Weigh-in's about 5:30. They'll do the senior ceremony right before the match. That'll be a fun time down at Butler Gym. Again, Bob, thanks. Appreciate you being on the show this morning.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. That's Bob Hayes. Also appreciate Jason Asher, Kiowa County Middle School Wrestling Coach, for joining us on the Sideline Report this morning. That's going to wrap us up. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us this morning here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.